had a car, but the man next door, where Betsy lives now, was Lyman Lloyd. And he was also a relative of all of ours. And he had a lot of money, so he, whenever we needed a car to go anywhere, he would let us take his Cadillac, which was Trader Treat, not us, I mean, not the kids. My father took the Cadillac. My father worked as a painter and carpenter and everything, cut wood, did all kinds of things. During the Depression, which was about that time, we didn't suffer at all because he could always find work. He also cut wood all winter, kept us warm. He had a pig, two or three, or anyway, and we had a cow, and we had chickens, and he would go get our wives, which we will be doing soon, I hope. He also went smelting every winter, along with everybody else in town. So we were very self-sufficient. We didn't need a lot of money or anything. A good thing, because we didn't have it. I had a wonderful childhood. Jimmy, of course, lived very near and was one of my best friends. And Jimmy and Ann and I and Dot and Jean Douse and David Stevens, David's not here, I guess, just kind of took over the town. And we were either at the brook or down the bay rowing. We used to go down behind Ethel Torrey's. Ethel Torrey used to have a laundry, and I had a rowboat and oars, so she let me walk through her laundry to go down to the brickyard, which I think you owned in your drone, you guys, and go rowing down there, and everybody was there swimming. And I remember particularly Loretta and Ralph Curtis. And nobody seems to remember this but me, but I don't think it was a dream. But anyway, they built a float for all of us kids here in town. And they came down there lots of the times we were down. I think they wanted to make sure we didn't kill ourselves. And they were beautiful people. They were wonderful to us. The same with, in the wintertime, we would use the brook in what we called Upper Stillwater. And it used to freeze over. Everyone went up there skating. I don't think anybody does anymore. But we skated. Roger Kane used to make a fire with old tires. And we would all skate. We had a wonderful time. And then we'd walk through the woods and go home, and that was it. But then we played outdoors at night after work, you know, I mean after, not work, school. Well, it was work, actually. We all went to the Surrey School. We had 8 grades there, but in the early, early years, of course, it was a high school. But for some reason, my mother went to Bucksport Seminary. I don't quite understand that, but anyway. So we went to the Surrey School, graduated from there, and then most of us went to Ellsworth High School. And we didn't have a bus or anything. We just found our way. You know, however we could go, we went. And I used to ride with some strange people sometimes. I don't even know who they were. You know, you just ride with anybody then. It wasn't, you didn't worry about things. And I would ride, sometimes I'd get as far as downtown Ellsworth and then walk up to the high school when I was in high school. And then lots of times I would wait for Claude Barnsey, used to work at the liquor store in Ellsworth. And he didn't get through work until about 6 o'clock. And so I would sit in his car. If I had to stay after school and couldn't ride home with someone that I knew, I would go sit in Claude's car in the cold and wait for him to get through work at the liquor store at 6 o'clock. So I'd get home about 6:30. And Claude, of course, every time we went by the cemetery, he'd say, "You want to go parking for a while?" I didn't even know what he was talking about. I found out later. But everybody was just so friendly and nice, and you never worried about anything. Everybody went to the post office. The big thing of the day was going to the post office at night, and the mail came twice a day then. So I used to get mail for Roger in Ellen's store, and I made 50 cents a week. And I thought that was just wonderful. You know, that was a lot of money in the 40s. I went to the Surrey School for most of the time, except during the war, we went to Freeport and lived there for 3 or 4 years while my father worked at the the ships out in South Portland. I can't remember the name of them, but so we had a great time there too. And of course, Bob and Mary lived there. And then I was so glad to get back to Surrey though, because it was wonderful. And we also had the Surrey Playhouse. And that was, you know, those people would come to the post office, and geez, we thought they'd just like, they were, well, some of them were movie stars, actually, eventually. But we were in awe of them. And if they had, when the bell rang, it meant that they were starting the play. And if we were up there, and the bell rang, and it wasn't completely full, they would let us go in and sit in the back row on the seat. And we used to raise them up to sit up, and we watched the play. So I watched several plays that way. And that was one of the greatest things in Surrey, I think. But just having all my family around, the McGraws were everywhere, and still are, I guess. And the Millikens kind of strewed around. So we were very, very wealthy with love and generosity and just good, good people all around. Yeah. Just a little different than today. I mean, you could go out and hitchhike and take a ride with anybody and you'd be fine. And go to the movies. One time, Ginny and I, we went to see, I think it was Frankenstein at the theater, and we hitchhiked over and we hitchhiked back, and we had forgotten it was going to be dark when we came out. And so by the time we got to East Surrey walking, we could hear this woo. We had a wolf or something. And so we walked very fast to get the young's out. And I called my mother and I said, "Get Uncle Lyman's car and come get us because there's wild animals over here." So, you remember that, Jim? It was really funny. Anyway, we had some wonderful, wonderful times and wonderful friends, and it was a just a wonderful time to grow up. Even though there was a war, and even though there was a depression, we weren't, you know, we were sort of unaware of everything and protected, I guess. So anyway, I just want to say how much different it was back then than it is today, with all the problems and all the troubles and all the sadness and all the shootings and sadness. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. That was great.
Yes.
And finally, John Curtis is going to come up and talk about a big mystery called the Floating Island.
Yes, I wish there was background music from the Twilight Zone, because my story is a little eerie. But before I get into that, I wanted to comment on George Elmer. I and my sisters grew up in a house beside George Elmer and Hazel. So we knew him, you know, all of our lives. and he did much better on the ocean than he did on the roads.
Yes.
Because I remember the time when he had a car that he didn't use very much, an old black Ford, I believe it was. He kept it in the barn. And he took it to Ellsworth one day to do some business. Well, he got a ride home. He forgot that he had driven, he used the car so infrequently. Someone gave him a ride home. So the next morning when he got up, he looked in the barn and his car was gone. And he ran into the house and told Hazel they'd been robbed. And she said, "I saw you drive away with it yesterday to Ellsworth." And he goes, "Oh yes, I drove to town with it." So he had to get a ride to Ellsworth to get the car back. I don't think he ever did that with the ships that he piloted. Let me change the slide. This little story, it appeared in the Ellsworth American in 1964, and it has to do with Abby Ingalls and Lena Cunningham. And I know that there are two nieces of Abby here tonight, Joy and Charlotte, and perhaps other relatives. Audrey. I know when I was growing up, they operated the Abby Lena Guest Home right in the center of town. Now it's the place that has the bear statue, but it looks a little different. But they were sort of landmarks of stability in the community. Lena had met a school teacher. I think my father went to her as a student at the old Surrey School. Abby did many different jobs. She was a school bus driver. She did carpentry. She cut my hair when I was a kid. She was a barber. And if I'm leaving things out, you can chime in, but I know she did many. Yeah, she split her own wood. And Lena made tremendous jams and jellies, which they sold. And they were sort of the central part of this community. They were a long time devoted couple and respected by everyone. But now we get to the story. This is called Floating Island Appears in Toddy Pond. The road was familiar. The camp looked the same. But Miss Abby Ingalls thought last Friday morning that her eyes were deceiving her when she saw a large island parked in the cove in front of her camp. It hadn't been there the day before. Estimated to be at least 200 feet long and up to 50 feet wide, the brush-covered floating island had some half dozen trees, and it appeared from no one knows where, and camp owners Miss Ingalls and Miss Lena Cunningham are wondering what to do about it. The Ingalls-Cunningham camp, 7 miles out of Surrey Village on Route 176, was built last summer for rental purposes, and the two women are concerned about rental prospects since swimming and boating are blocked by the island, which lies within several yards of the shore. Miss Ingalls, who operates a taxi service in Surrey, and with Miss Cunningham, the Abilene tourist home, contacted fish and game authorities Monday to see if they could provide any help in getting rid of the unique wandering intruder. But apparently the problem of the island's disposal will rest with the women. According to Miss Ingalls, she would gladly give an island to anybody in the market for it. Now, here the story ends, but I think there's an update. Someone here knows what happened to the island. Marjorie?
Well,
yes.
Power source floated away.
It floated away.
It floated.
So it.
It went downstream. Toddy Pond runs backwards. Everybody thinks, you know, south north. It goes south north, and it went down through towards Orland, and attached to other islands or whatever you have.
Right.
And it might be there today and gone tomorrow.
So the story had a happy ending. At least for Abby and Lena, it may have washed up on someone else's shore.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you to all of the presenters. I'd like to open up the whole hall for an opportunity for everyone to wander around and take a look at all of the various things that we have on display. Do not forget this room back here, which is filled with all sorts of interesting farm tools and things like that. So you should take note of all those things. Totally unrelated to that, if I'm going to put this piece of paper back here, if you're a member, and hopefully most of you are, and if you would like to become a member, it's what, $5?
I think so, yeah.
It's the best deal in the town. Whatever. But if also you could put your, yes? Yep.
And if people would sign that, that they were here tonight, and an address, we'd appreciate it.
Good. And so back there, there's the guest book. Please sign that. Right there. And I was going to ask also.
I left some of those up there.
Oh, people. Good. And there are some membership forms if you'd like to join. I'd also ask if anyone would like to be put on a email mailing list about, events here. That would be something that would be very useful. So if you could just write down your email address, your name and email address on the back of this page here, that would be great. So, any other questions or, yes?
I just want to say, I've gone and five notebooks on the table over there. They're from the 1800s. They're my family's old records and shipping and all the stories and advertising.
Will you be standing somewhere near them to answer questions? No, he says. Okay, self-explanatory. Good.
And the refreshments.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you told me that. And Tara is reminding me that we have refreshments back on this table over here. And yes?
I wanted to find out about if you have any records on my great-grandmother and grandfather. That might be how I live.
Very possibly. What
they
are the names?
They both own property in Surrey. Mm-hmm. Baldwin and Murray. Looking for James Murray and Mabel Baldwin.
Okay. I personally don't know, but we can.
She became Mabel Decatur. That Decatur Lane is named after her.
Oh,
so
I've seen that.
Her house has been torn down now, though. So.
Okay. Ask me. We have quite a few genealogical files here we might go through and maybe find something. So, good. I'll be standing over there somewhere. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. The meeting itself is closed, but the wanderings begin.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you.
I guess I need to turn this off.
Sure.